Hello, good evening, and welcome back. It's In the Know, brought to you by The Racing Post. As we say au revoir to the flat season with Champions Day at Ascot. But it's not your normal Champions Day. It's great racing, of course, but it is good ground at Ascot. So all those soft ground horses thinking that, don't worry, we'll get to go to Longchamp, we'll get to go to Ascot, all that kind of stuff at the end of the season, and we'll pick up the pieces there. Well, it's going to be pretty damn quick on Saturday afternoon. Not only that, but we have an extra Group 1 as well, with the Long Distance Cup being upgraded to the top status. And to celebrate, a handful of horses have turned up to contest it. We also have a very valuable two-year-old race as well, so it's a, yeah, all changed to a certain extent, isn't it, for Champions Day at Ascot, but hopefully it will be the same in the sense of there's never a bad race at Ascot. There's never a dull race, especially at the top level. And of course, we see off the Ascot card with a big field handicap over the straight mile, of which the man to my left, I'm sure, will have one or two up his short sleeves. But we get to answer a few questions as well. Field of Gold, what happened at Goodwood, and can he bounce back? Can Delacroix make it 2-2 at full time with Ombudsman or Calandagan spoil the party? And is Kalpana any good? Amongst other questions that will be answered tomorrow, including sprinters, hey? Whose turn is it? Anyway, let us know on the chat what you fancy. Hello to everyone who's watching at home. We are live and interactive. To Alex Neal, to John Lewis, to Blair, to Mark Wellstead, to Hugo Blewett Mundy, the 3,172, many, many more as well. So, right, what do you fancy tomorrow? Let us know in the chat with capital letters with your best bets. The panel, of course, it's Champions Day, so we do have the champions on board, including Mr. Paul Keighley, who is sad to see the flat season end, aren't you, mate?
Ah, yeah, devastated. It's not over yet, is it? We've got a futurity next week.
Yeah, you know? That's true. It's true.
No, Champions Day is brilliant, isn't it? Like, you know, I mean, there's always a part of the season where I get to starting to look forward to the next one, and that goes for jumps as well. Yeah, after today, the jump's head is getting screwed firmly on.
I'll be honest with you, and I am, 100% flat focused. There's not even any daft debate for me. But I was going through this card, and I'm really looking forward to it. But I did get to the end of the study, and it was quite a weary sigh of like, oh, okay, I'm looking forward to tying the bow on.
Does that just
top.
Mean you're not going to do any work for the next 6 months, though?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Look, there's a lot on the all-weather. There's a lot of all-weather meetings. Once you've watched the same group of horses, you need a bit of a refresher, don't you, to wipe the slate clean. But what are we looking forward to most tomorrow?
I think you have to say the Champion Stakes, don't you? Because there's three, horses that would be considered absolutely top stars in their own right racing against each other.
Yeah.
Hopefully, one of them will come out of top in a nice clean run race. As we've seen before at Ascot, things don't always work out like that, do they? So I won't necessarily be betting that way.
No, they don't. But yeah, if you've got one or two of these in an average Champions Stakes, you'd say, great, we get a matchup. You've also got economics to throw in as well, haven't you?
Well, he went off 2-1 for the race last year, didn't he? And he's an outsider this time just because he hasn't run, isn't it? Interesting.
Fascinating stuff. And Tom Siegel, who is actually not looking forward to the flat season going because, again, I mean, partly for your job, Tom, as we discussed, it takes you 5 hours extra to play back all the replays. But nice to have good ground, a good clean fight at Ascot, and all the right horses turning up.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, sometimes, Kiel's pointed out, we get to this Champions Day meeting and it's all a bit, oh God, which horse is going to go in the ground, which horse has had enough, with all that sort of stuff. And you get funny results. Hopefully that won't be the case this year. I'm really looking forward to it. As Kiel's pointed out, the big race is absolutely brilliant. Every single horse. My favourite horse is running in there. He's about 25-1, Al McCam. And then you've got Field of Gold coming back, who I'm really looking forward to seeing because he was so good at the start of the season. He sort of made the start of the season for many people. And then the wheels completely fell off at Goodwood. And now he's coming back. And it's two ways of looking at it, isn't there? Will he bounce back? But I'm looking at it as the Godsons are taking a big risk. Why bring him back? Mm. They could have left him off for the whole of the time and brought him back next year or retired him or whatever they're doing. They must think he's going to run. He's back to his best because I just can't believe they're turning up if he's not. And it'll be great to see him. And then you've got the sprinters, as you say, anything can win sprints. And my old pal Chorlaman's in action as well. I've seen Chorlaman pile him in. So, yeah, really looking forward to it. Be a great day.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, like I said, what have we got at home? What do you all fancy? What are you thinking? The Champions Stakes will be awesome, says Viper. Viper. Agree, Sammy. Lockeranza says Gosden for the trainer's title, I reckon. Of course, that's still in the reckoning as well. I'm looking forward to Ombudsman tomorrow, says Wiseman. Gomez says, are any of the panel going tomorrow? If so, I would gladly buy you a drink. I'll be the geezer with the wheelbarrow. So that's confidence. That's confidence.
Can you wheel me out in it afterwards when all the jollies go in and I've done it in?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're going, aren't you?
Yes.
There you go, there, Mr. Gomez of Adam's family fame. You can look for Keels. Right.
You're not going, Ross.
I'm not going. No. I don't get the invite. So.
No, I'm not going either. I don't get the invite either. I don't know how Keels does. How do
I got an invite, mate. A little firm I know called Onside Hospitality. I'll be in there upstairs on the fifth floor. Lovely.
Well, I think they've stopped inviting you, Tom, because you don't go. But
the invite turns up and I just throw it in the bin. Is that the one you mean?
Yeah, exactly. In fact, I've heard there's a rumour you put a bin directly under your letterbox just to deal with it straight off the bat. But no.
I have actually, funnily enough, I do have one of those letterboxes outside.
Yes.
So they don't even have to come in. They don't even come in the house. You just leave them out there for about 3 weeks.
Perfect. It's absolutely perfect. Right, okay. Big card at Ascot coming up after this.
It's a Lambourne winner at the end of the day.
Oh, it's so unique. It's called the Valley of the Racehorse for a reason. Horses are the life and soul of this village. And without the horses, not many people would have ever heard of Lambourne. You could be walking down the high street and within seconds you could see a string of horses finishing their morning work or just going off to do it.
All right. Make sure you go to the Racing Post YouTube channel and check out that video that's been uploaded today, Racing Unfiltered, part of a new series. It looks fantastic. It's a visit to Lambourne and a look round at Richard Hughes's stable. In fact, before we do get on to Ascot, just in terms of sort of, I know it's not officially the end of the flat season, Tom, but you know, there's been some breakthrough names in terms of trainers and jockeys. And some, what's been your highlight? Because Richard Hughes has been one of the success stories of this year. It feels like there's a few trainers like him, like Ed Walker, that have really sort of established themselves now. Not necessarily at the top table, but they're on the way up there. Is there anything in particular that's warmed your cockles over the summer?
Well, I think, you know, sometimes we go through seasons where we don't see anything special. I like good horses, big races, good horses. And we've had many years where the 2000 Guineas has been rubbish and the Derby and all. I mean, the Derby weren't great this year, but we have had some exceptionally top-class horses, I think. We're seeing three of them tomorrow. We saw a good arc with the two horses coming clear. Field of Gold's back. We've seen some really... the sprinters are a mismatch. We know that. But I think in middle distance and in from a mile up, we still rule the world, Europe does. I think we've got the best bred horses. And this year, we've got the best horses too. So I've really enjoyed it. They, funnily enough, most of them turn up tomorrow, which is absolutely brilliant for the day and brilliant for the sport, I think.
Yeah, exactly what we want. Yeah, it feels like, yeah, anything, it's the middle that's good, isn't it? The sprinters, a bit crap. The stayers, there's barely any of them, Keels. But seven furlongs to a mile and a half, it's been fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, there's been some very good horses and very good races this year, isn't
it? Yeah. What about your trainers or jockeys? Is there anyone who's kind of entered your radar in terms of like, because we all have our ones we like to back or we don't like to back. But we all have our
fabs, don't we? I mean, I'm just going to get the trainers list up here. I mean, Hughes is one, isn't he? Because he's had a really good strike rate this year, isn't he?
And, yeah. In fact, well, I just looked before we came on, and he's definitely up there in terms of he's only got 85 horses this year, and he's won more money than Richard Fye, he's won more money than Hugo Palmer, than George Bowie, than Clive Cox, than the Crisfords, than Archie Watson. So he's really broken through. I feel like Ed Walker's season has been
he's been flying, particularly with his 2-year-olds, isn't he? Yeah, he's been good. Jack Shannon's had a really good year as well, decent strike rate. Probably fallen off a little bit towards the end of the season, but I thought he's done really well.
And Eve Johnson Horton, of course.
And Eve Johnson Horton's my favourite anyway.
Yeah, and she's had a cracking year.
She's had a great year with Sabatieri. Strike rate's low overall, but I mean, she's got the best out of her good horses.
Well, she had a 6-length 2-year-old win today at Haydock, who's bred to to be a classic horse as well. Yeah, so yeah, yeah, okay.
And obviously Aidan O'Brien's picked up a couple of quid, hasn't he?
He's done all right, hasn't he? Quickly on the chat, what any highlights from you? Funnily enough, the Lochranza says the sprints have been my best bets this year. American Affair, No Half Measures and Big Mojo. Montasib tomorrow for me. Again, that's the advantage of the sprints is if you do get on the right side of it, you're going to get a decent price and you know, you're not following the crowd. Good evening to Paul Stokes. And Mark Gillen says, Ross can't tip a winner. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate that. We'll see how we go. But pretty sure the last show, I had two naps and they both won. So, never mind.
Unlucky Paul.
Yeah. Right, let's go. Champions Day. They're starting off with the Long Distance Cup. 1-2 Trawler Man, 5-1 Sweet William, 5-1 Stay True, and unfortunately there's a footstool in front of the screen and I can't see the rest of the prices. So 11-1 Al Karim. And the outsider.
Any price you like, Saratoga.
Any price you like, Saratoga.
Right, one of the producers is going to come in there, hands and knees behind the screen in a minute, and move that green footstool.
I reckon I could slide around there while you tip up the.
Well, be really quick, Gilles.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure I can take much long, but take very long on this race anyway, could I? No, I mean, Trawler Man, he's running this race three times before. He's been 20-1, 9-1, and 5-1, and now he's virtually twos on, isn't he? You know, and that's. You know, he probably is as good as he's ever been, maybe even better. But, you know, that's just state of the staying division as it is at the moment. And I think the only danger to him is Sweet William. Stay True, who was second favourite and was third in the ledger, didn't look like he wanted any further at Doncaster. And he's out of a sprinter. I don't see him getting 2 miles. So
I think every time I see him, I think there's a... I don't know, I feel like there's a bit of a hole in him. He travels so well, but he just doesn't
seem
to...
Well, that's it. He traded quite short. He traded very short at Doncaster, didn't he? Yeah. But, you know, can he get beat? Well, he can, because Sweet William beat him last year in this race when he was second. And he does do really well at the end of the season, Sweet William. So it wouldn't surprise me if he won. If I was going to have a bet, that'd be it. I expect Trawler Man will probably win. But it was supposed to be, we're packing in for the season after Doncaster, wasn't it? And they've changed their mind, so he must be buzzing at home.
Yeah,
so it's probably worth taking a chance on.
Well, and to be fair, even if he's not buzzing now, what is it for second? I mean,
prize money terms.
It's you know what, and also it's a group because it's been upgraded as well. So
yeah, exactly, 114 grand per second. You know, and he has beaten Trawler Man here before, hasn't he? So why not have another?
Did you hear that, Ross? Did you hear that? Keels just said, going to the races tomorrow, I'm not sure I'll have a bet on this race. That is the biggest load of nonsense I've ever heard. He's definitely having a bet.
He's going to back Sweet William each way.
Oh, I'll have a small each way money back Sweet William because I don't think the others can get near him. I mean, Al Karim, I love Al Karim, but he doesn't stay 2 miles. There's no evidence in the book that he does.
I mean, he loves Ascot.
He does love Ascot, but he'll go forward... But it's got Trawler Man and probably Saratoga as well, because he's probably in there and mess things around. It's not going to work out well for him, is it?
No, fair enough. Trawler Man 1-2 then. What's changed this year with Trawler Man, Tom? Because, last year the only horses who were beaten were Kyprios, and he didn't race that much, and he ended 2023 well. I know that, so maybe it's just been... He's actually been more consistent over the last 18 months than it feels. But it feels like those last three performances have just been unbelievable. Like, he's just looked unbeatable.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, the opposition's been easier for him, but I think preparation's been a big thing for him too. I mean, going into last year's Gold Cup, if you remember, it was off the back of running in Dubai. He never had a prep race. So I thought to run as well as he did behind Kyprios that day was a really good performance anyway. I think he was beaten a length and a half, something like that. And he's come out this year, he's had the run at Sandown, and he's just sort of got his confidence up. He was brilliant at Royal Ascot, and then there's not much that can cope with him when he gets off in front, trawling off in front. You know what I mean? And so, I expect him to win. The one thing I would say is that I agree with Keels here. Sweet William wasn't going to run again. Now, you can look at that two words. Either he's going brilliantly, or Trawler Man's going badly. Mm. So it's a difficult one, isn't it? I mean, I think... You know, it's hard to make a case for Stray True staying. Al Karim doesn't really seem to stay 2 miles either. Saratoga's not good enough. Though he's beaten Trawler Man in this race before, I'm not sure he should be 5-1 and Trawler Man 2-1 on. It's just, you know, with all they were saying after the last race, He must be going well, or maybe Trawlerman's not going so well, because I know the Goslings would love to win the trainer's title.
Yeah.
So yeah, I agree. I think Sweet William's the bet. I expect Trawlerman to win. I want Trawlerman to win, but at five, he shouldn't be. I don't think those prices represent a fair representation of their abilities, really.
No, and you're right. And probably, you know, in running in this race, Sweet William will probably go about 15-8 at one point, and you'll think, oh, hello. And I do think Trawlerman will probably outstay him, but he is a proper horse, isn't he, Sweet William, in terms of he just, again, always runs his race, and he is fairly lightly raced still for his age. So maybe, I don't know, yeah, maybe he could end the season giving Trawlerman a bit of a fright. Okay, fair enough, but you think and hope.
I still think I hope Trawlerman wins. He's been one of the stars of the season, hasn't he? I know people hate staying races. I love him, and I think he's one of my highlights, him winning the Gold Cup, and I'd love to see him win again.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Right, that's the opener then. Onto the newest race on the Champions Day card, the Champions Day 2-year-old condition stakes, which is worth $128,000 to the winner. And let's hope that that Godolphin or Wathnan or I don't know, Michael Tabor, someone needs that cash. Let's hope they get the. So they get the win in the bag. Words of Truth, Even Money, Division 9-2, Siren Suit 6-1, Mission Central 8-1, Sir Albert 10s, Gentle George. If we're going for unlikely winners who, you know, maybe deserve the cash, could be one of those 16-1. Ardesia 22s and 25-1 bar those. But Words of Truth is the Even Money favourite here, Tom. But up against the horse that you were waxing lyrical about in your column this week, and are you a bit surprised to see him out and about 7 days later?
Yeah, I am really. I was looking forward to seeing him in a classic trial next year, Division. Obviously, Wathnan are throwing a kitchen sink at Champions Day, and good for them, and good for the meeting, and good for everything. I mean, I'm really pleased to see him here. I like him a lot, but this is a step up in class. And earlier in the week when he was 8 or 9-1, I did have a few quid on because I couldn't let him not be backed. I think 9-2 is about the right price now. Siren Suit's quite an interesting one. He's coming, you know, he looked good at the start of the season when he was third in a good race here. Did Words of Truth win it? I think he did, didn't he?
Wise Approach won it.
Wise Approach, even better. You know what I mean? Better horse than Words of Truth. So that, isn't it? He's got an interesting angle for the Goslings coming here after a sort of a warm-up run on the all-weather, but Words of Truth does have the best form, but it's a 2-year-old race at the end of the season. Mm. And I thought, you know, just don't know how good Division and Siren Suit are. And then you throw in Sir Albert, whose form gave him a big boost the other day, wasn't it? The form of the Hankelo, didn't he? Won at Newmarket after he was third to him, just right on Hankelo's heels in the Scotsman, Flying Scotsman at Doncaster. With an unbeaten horse of Roger Varian's in front. So he's not out of it. And then Gentle George looked good the other day. Who knows what the form is of that? The first two were miles clear. And the second was very well fancied and had the rail at Haydock, which we've seen all season is a massive advantage. So I wouldn't throw him out too. I thought it was more open than the prices suggest. Obviously, Ward's Words of Truth is the most likely winner. He's got much the best form. But I'm not sure he's that much. Well, I think the others have a chance of improving up to him. So I think Division was the one I backed earlier in the week. I think Siren Suit has a chance, but he's obviously been well backed. And I wouldn't rule out Sir Albert or Gentle George, I don't think.
Okay. Sir Albert 10-1, Gentle George 16-1. I mean, think about Words of Truth. Again, it's one of those favourites that my brain goes, oh, I want to take this on. And then you think, I mean, Charlie Appleby, he's had 4 2-year-olds run in the past 5 days. Three of them have won by 5 lengths, 5.5 lengths, and 3 lengths. Admittedly, you know, not in particularly good races, but they're clearly they do tend to end the season well, and I do feel like they're kind of flying a little bit.
It's four out of the last four, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, and one of them yeah. Scrambled home, but the other three have absolutely dotted up. And weirdly, he actually won at Newbury last time out in the style of a horse who doesn't like Newbury. I mean, Newbury's often a speed track, but the way he picked up suggests that he will.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a little bit flattered by the fact that the runner-up had no idea what he was doing.
Yeah, that is true.
I thought it was easily the best horse in the race, the runner-up, and was just clueless. Doesn't mean it isn't bad form, but Division did beat the third and fourth by similar margins at York.
True.
You know, so I was, yeah, again, I was surprised that there's that much difference in price from him. If I was a if I was a layer, I'd probably want the field running for me rather than being with the fav.
Yeah.
I like division, and you know, in terms of RPRs and what they've done, our Odyssey is a daft price at 20 odd to 1, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess maybe there's a suspicion that he's better on slightly softer ground, but he's run 3 times out of 6 furlongs. He's won four times, won 3 of those. Mm-hmm. The other one, he was 3rd to Song of the Clyde in that race at York that's thrown up winner after winner after winner. Yeah, like you said, he's rated 100. He doesn't win by that far, as he did at Redcar last time out, but he just, I don't know, he finished his race off really well.
Yeah. He shouldn't be 22 to 1. Fast. We're having fairly heavy dews every morning, aren't we?
Like, yeah.
You know, I mean, I doubt it's going to be that quick. I mean, you know, the thing is, on, you know, there's been 2 good ground meetings of Champions Days before. 2011, the ground stick was 9.9. In 2016, it was 8.9, and now it's like 7.9.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So I gather, you know, maybe the Clark, of course, lost a bit of weight in between. But, you know what I mean? I don't think it's going to be lightning fast ground by any stretch of the imagination.
No, true. And like, there was a Nottingham meeting on the other day that was going to be similar to this. I think it was good ground, but it was fairly hard work. Nothing was quickening off it. They were just sort of galloping home, and it looked not hard work, but it looked like autumn good ground. Mm. Which, like I said, yeah, it's not going to be what it was. You know, it's not going to be Royal Ascot where it was practically a car park, wasn't it, Tom? Isn't it, Tom?
So. Yeah, no, I agree. I think it'll be perfect good ground. That's what I think. And people are saying it'll be really fast. I don't see it being like that at all. One thing I don't say about Charlie Appleby is that while he's been winning with all these sort of 1-3 shots, I think he came away from Champions or future Champions Day really disappointed the other day. I thought a lot of his superstars got turned over, or supposed superstars. And whether he has those really good ones, I'm not convinced. Yeah. I'm not convinced he has, you know, he's sitting there thinking I'm going to win the Guineas next year. And so I don't think Words of Truth is that far ahead of these. I really don't.
No, fair enough. Yeah, well, to be fair, I did like that Kempton horse the other day, that Talk of New York. Oh, he's got some gears. But yeah, you're right. And to be fair, I think he's more likely to win the Guineas, Tom, with one of those horses who pops up, wins a couple at Kempton over the winter and kind of comes from the left field a little bit.
Well, there's definitely room at the top, isn't there, in the 2-year-old colts division, I think.
Yeah.
I like Go On. We like him, don't we? We've talked about him many times, and we think we like him. But I don't think... I mean, he's Chaldean, isn't he? He's just Chaldean. Yeah. Chaldean won it, but then never won another race, did he? Or I don't think after that. And he just wasn't a brilliant... If it's one of those guineas, then yes. But as you say, Charlie Appleby could find anything, you know, like he did a couple of years ago, to come and upset the Apple.
Mission Central, 2-year-old Ballydore Gelding, must be decent, says Liam. Ardesia for Dimitriou. Have to do Ardesia each way, fast, improving and tough, says Philip Clayton. I don't know, I'm just, because it's just 22-1 just seems a bit daft, really. But yeah, but you're going for Kills?
Yeah, division, I think, you know, on balance. Yeah.
Tom?
Division for me too, yeah.
All right. I'd rather back division than Words of Truth and get the prizes, but Ardesia does look a little bit big. Right, let's go to the champion sprint, shall we? Where Lazat is 4-1, Montasib 5-1, Kind of Blue 6-1, Big Mojo 7-1, Flora Bermuda 9-1, King Kwan is 11s with Inner Sherin and Rayevka. And then you've also got the likes of, what have we got the likes of? 10 Bob Tony, oh, again, here we go again. Witness Stand, No Half Measures, Art Power, Spy Chief, Iberian, James's Delight, King's Gamble, Quinault, Run to Freedom, Powerful Glory, but not Rosie Affair. First, before we get stuck into this, there have been six Group 1 sprints won this year, Giles, by 6 different horses in the UK. Some of them are in here, obviously.
Mm.
Which ones can you? We keep saying they get won by different horses. Who are the 6 Group 1s?
Okay, Time for Sandals.
Yep.
Big Mojo.
Yep.
No Half Measures.
Yep.
American Affair.
American Affair.
Yep.
Asphora.
Asphora,
oh,
yeah.
Yeah, Asphora, yeah.
And?
Lazat,
yeah, the favourite for this.
The favourite for this, there you go.
So,
yeah, that's right, and it's the same in France as well, and the same in Ireland. Yeah. Right, you know, all the Group 1 sprints have been won by different horses.
Yep.
Which is, with the exception of Asphora, of course, who's a 7-year-old mare trained in Australia. I mean, British, Irish, French are rubbish. Now, we talk about the British and Irish being rubbish, but let's not forget that the French have won one of the last 13 Prix de l'Abbaye.
Yeah.
You know, they do provide the favourite and the form horse here, though, don't they, in Lazat. And if he returns to that form at the Jubilee, then he's gonna take some beating, isn't he? But, you know, like a lot of horses that look like they're about to dominate the sprint division, they immediately just disappear back into the pack, don't they? And that's the problem. And that's sort of what he's done, because Sadji is no great shakes, is he? Beaten by him.
Well, so I'll get the horse. I mean, first off, I thought Shoshone Rev should have beat him anyway. But behind those, you've got Flora Bermuda, Night Eyes, Iberian, Jazor, Inner Sharon, Run to Freedom, Great Generation, Storm Boy, Grand Grey, Elite Status, Anaf, and Top Gear. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure Anaf's won a Group 3 and that's about it?
Yeah, but I mean,
there's been no other winners.
Yeah, I know, but if
there,
you read down the list of all the horses below Lazat in the Better for this race, you'd be equally unimpressed, wouldn't you?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just, that's the sprint division.
Yeah, maybe it is.
You know
what
I mean? And that's the problem. So, I mean, he can win. I don't, you know, he's going that way rather than that way, as far as I'm concerned, as the season's going on. So that makes me worry, so I don't really want to back him. Kind of Blue does seem to be going up that way, but I think now when you look at the race and you see the draw and you know all the runners and all that, I just think the prices of those towards the front end have been squeezed a little bit. Yeah. Apart from Big Mojo, who seems to be very weak in the market at the moment, because he was fives earlier on this morning. I think his best price 15-2 is he now, so a lot of people don't like him. So I wanted to go for an outsider. I did back Witness Stand at 66s on Monday. Now, I just think the best of his form at 7 furlongs is, well, considerably better than a lot of these form at 6 furlongs. And this race has been won on several occasions by horses with quality 7 furlong form. The form of his Lennox win, where he goes really well at Goodwood, obviously. I think the only horse to beat him there was Kirat. And he was giving Kirat a stone, I think, at the time. But the next time in the Hungerford, that was really good form. Second to More Thunder, who I sort of underrated in that race. But he's run really well since. The winners of the Park Stakes and the Sceptre Stakes have come out of that race. And I think the third or the fourth was beaten less distance by Big Mojo in the Betfred Sprint Cup. It was a really, really warm piece of form. And I mean, 66-1 was one of the daftest prices I've ever seen. He's 20s now, and he has got Colin Keane on board. And I won't say I was overjoyed by that. I know he's a top jockey in Ireland, but his record over here isn't great, is it? It's 10% in Britain as a whole. It's 3% at Ascot, 3 from 88, which does worry me. I'm not going to deny it. If it was a short price favourite, I would be opposing him, you know, almost on that score. So. And I hope stall 19, quite often they go over the far side, but it doesn't have the rail bias that the near side would have, if you know what I mean. Because you have horses score from well off the rail when they go on the
far side. Well, obviously they often go over there when the ground's bad at this time of year, because the ground will be a little bit fresher over there, it's less chewed up, but it should be all...
I don't think they'll do that. On the track at this time of year, the stand side would be on the middle of the track.
Normal time,
you know what I mean? So it's not quite the same. But anyway, you know, I still like him at a price, but I've also added Ray Evka, the French filly, into it.
Okay.
I mean, it's another one. Michael Barcelona's not exactly brilliant at Ascot either. Mm. And he may or may not have been to blame for the fact that she only finished third, beaten 3/4 of a length in the Commonwealth Cup. She did get squeezed out at the start, but she was drawn 13, and he decided after getting squeezed out and dropped back to last to bring her all the way to the stand side. And then they raced up in the middle, and she ended up making up loads of ground and just failing to catch Arizona Blaze on the near side with Time for Sandals winning on the far side. She could have gone the far side because she was almost pretty much where the split came.
Yeah.
But he decided to move her all the way, and obviously the rest of them didn't decide to go all the way to the stands rail. So I don't know, but that was a really, really good run. The next one was terrible. The next one after that, the second to Monte, I thought was good, because I thought 5 furlongs is way, way too short.
Yeah.
You know, that quick 5 furlongs, and a stiff 6 will suit her down to the ground. She's got a chance like loads of others. I'm not backing anything in single figures in a Group 1 sprint, basically.
Yeah. No, fair enough. Okay, Ray Evka is 11-1. And what price Witness Stand now?
22.
But I'm just going to pick up on one thing that Keel's just said there, Tom, is that you say, you know, the horses that Lazat beat, you could say that for all the sprints. Well, then the argument then is, well, the 7 furlong horse is not better, and therefore your Witness Stands, and I know I'm half joking about 10 Bob Tony, but 7 furlong horse dropping back to 6. I mean, he ran a blinder at Longchamp, and you know, the horses that he's been contesting, your 7 furlong horses, your Marvel Mans, your Maranoa Charlies, your Lake Forest, your Never So Braves, like, you know, later on.
He's beaten Kinross as well, and Kinross has won this.
He's beaten Kinross. Those form lines are much stronger than the sprint lines.
That's 100% agree. I think 7 furlong mile form's a lot stronger. Well, it has been for years, a lot stronger form than 6 furlong. That's why I find the old sort of idea of having a Commonwealth Cup absolutely balmy. But there we go. Well, that's for another day. But I have no problems with Witness Stand or 10 Bob Tony. The one I ended up on is not dropping back in trip, but he's totally different to all the others. There's King Kuan for Paddy Twomey. Just because brings a totally different line of form in. And he was a really good two-year-old. He looked really good. He missed last season. And he's come out this season, and he couldn't have been more unlucky the last twice. He got trapped 5 furlongs. He was trapped on the white in the middle of Nace or wherever it was. And you just can't win up there over 5. And then last time, I mean, how he lost to Art Power, I don't know. Now, that's not brilliant form, is it? By any stretch of the imagination. But he, as I'm going to do an impression of Keels, he's going up. And a lot of the others are going down. and that's what I want in one of these races. That's the horses that have been winning this races all these this season, yeah. Haven't they? American Affairs going up. Stop it. And you know what I mean?
Is this? Do you want me to? Should I get Robbie to do as a graphic again as well? Maybe.
Do you know what I mean? Though he's looks to me like he's going to run a career best. That's what I thought. And whether that's good enough, he might not be. It might not be good enough to compete with a Lazat or a Witness Stand, as Keel said, with the form and stuff. Or maybe Rev, because it was another one certainly on my list. But, you know, he's quite a short price now, and that's probably my fault. But I did think he was the type of horse that's been winning sprints this year. Mm. And he comes from a trainer that is... No, I'm not going to do it. Comes from a yard that is definitely fast-tracking itself to the top, isn't it? The Twomey yard.
Yeah.
So you know, I just thought he might run well. I backed Montasib when I did my anti-post stuff a few months ago. And look, he's 5-1 now. I think it was 2016-1 or whatever he was back then. So I'm not disappointed that he's turning up and he's a 5-1 shot. But I would prefer softer ground. What you would say, though, is that when he won the Sprint Cup, I think it was good ground.
It was.
And so I'm not sure everyone is by Exceed and Excel. I'm not sure he's as soft ground orientated as people say. It's just that when you get to soft ground, he handles it. A lot of others don't. So I think he's got a chance. He's fresh coming here. You know, desperately unlucky last year. I think he had best of the low numbers, didn't he? When Trap 20 beat 19, beat 18, beat 17. I think he came in behind them. So he's got course form. I think he'd go well. But the one I backed today was King Kuan. But as you know, you're probably going to throw another couple of in there. Inisherin ran very well last time. The only thing I'd say about him is that Kevin Ryan's having a shocking season. I don't think he's going to win him.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, he's had horses. He had one. I just don't like the way they're finishing. They're just not finishing their races. So I think Inisherin will be. I think he'll be one that we go next year. We'll go, well, you know, last year was a write-off. It feels like that kind of season for Inisherin. He's only 4, so he's got a couple of years on his side.
Yeah.
I personally think the 7 furlong. I think Witness Stand and 10 Bob Tony. You know, if Maranoa Charlie or More Thunder were in here, they'd be favourite, wouldn't they? Pretty much. So I think that the fact that they have either beaten or run those horses close, like I said, 10 Bob Tony had a good draw, but a shocking trip through at Longchamp, and I think the 7 furlong form is much much better. And again, 7 furlong, like you said, like Keel said, 7 furlong horses winning this. I mean, they're pretty much all 7 furlong horses who win this. Yeah. I mean, you know, your Don Juan Triumphants, your Glenn Shields. What else have we got?
Le Breeze of Breeze.
Yeah, Kinross, Creative Force won the jersey as well, didn't he? Muhara won the Greenham, did he as well? Something over 7 furlong. So yeah, there's loads of 7 furlong horses win this. So I'll be following the 7 furlong form lines of Witness Stand and.
You know, for example, Lazat's won over 7 furlongs, hasn't he? King Kuan's won over 7 furlongs. Lots of horses in this race have won over. So they've just been You know what I mean? They just haven't been running over 7 furlongs recently, maybe. So yes. That's you can't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Montaseb will make them all look daft tomorrow, says Alfie JD Black. Off World says that Montaseb will finish last. Is that how he's going to make them look daft? I don't know. I like no half measures, says Hugo. And surely no half measures, another good each way bet as well, says Philip Clayton. All right, the next race on Champions Day at Ascot is the Fillies and Mares over the mile and a half trip. And Kalpana is 11-4 favourite. A Strange 4-1. Wardour 6-1. Quisisana is 6-1. One Look 8s. We Might Take the Long Way 9s. Bedtime Story 10s. Danielle is 14-1. And we've also got Ballet Slippers in here as well. And also, which one am I missing? Latakia, the Graffard. Raider here, but yeah, plenty of questions to answer about this lot, Keels. How good is Kalpana? Does a Strange is going to handle the ground and also being stuck in box one? And then you've got a couple of 3-year-olds, Wardour's down in trip, Bedtime Story's down in trip, but didn't seem to stay last time out. I mean, I don't know. I started to pick up my brain the more I looked at this race.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kalpana's the best filly in the race. And I'd back her at 11-4 if she hadn't run in the arc.
Yep.
And that's the thing, I thought she had a hard race at the arc, and probably an unnecessarily hard race, given the way that she was ridden by Colin Key, because she went forward.
Yep.
And then was reined back to lose the good position that she'd earned herself, and then stayed wide all the way round. It was a messy race. I don't think that did her any favours. And there have been quite a few winners come from the ARC meeting, not necessarily the ARC, but the ARC meeting. So, you know, a run at France, not necessarily a hindrance, but I didn't like it. I'm not sure about it. I'm not sure about some of the others in the front of the betting either, partly because of the draw. I mean, poor old Estrange. I mean, you know, she got drawn stall 18 in the ARC or you know, the widest of the lot, wasn't it? Like, you know, came out because of an issue. Now she's got track one, which is a horrible place to be at Ascot.
I mean, it's literally the photo negative of that bad draw.
Yeah, it oughtn't be, but there's always so much trouble on the inside that, at Ascot, isn't it? Yeah. Isn't there? Like, you know, and the last winner from Lowden Stall 6 of this race was in 2014 when Madame Chiang came through absolutely bottomless, barely raceable ground. So,
and they spread out all over the shop.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, the Strangers in one, Wardour's in four, Quisisana's in five. So they're all fairly low drawn. You could make cases for all of them, but I backed Bedtime Story earlier in the week because I think her form in the Prix de Diane and the Prix de May is right up there with all of them, but she got stall two, which rather annoyed me.
Yeah.
So I ended up going for Danielle. Jonathan Gosden. Gosden Yar's won this 3 times in the last 9 years. I think she'd definitely been primed for it because she came back really late. And it's very weird. I've just been reading Gosden comments on the race card today. A stiff mile and a half on a sound surface should play to her strengths. I mean, I cannot believe that he said that. I'm going to have a chat with whoever got the quotes. I mean, literally last year, she won on soft ground at Wetherby and loved it, and we need to look for those conditions again. And of course, they have gone for those conditions most of the time. She was second to Estrange last year at Doncaster when favourite on soft ground. She was second to Max Vega, and, you know, a heavy ground specialist at Newbury. But 2 runs this year, she's actually won career bests on RPRs, and they said good to soft ground, but both Racing Post and Timeform said it was good both times. So I think she's definitely improving, and I don't think she's quite got home. Now, I think she was going at least as well as Wardour at the two-pole in that Goodwood race, and it might just suit her much better coming back in trip. And I'm not going to moan about Ashim Murphy getting a ride for the Gostons.
No, fair enough. And she's in box 8 as well, which is perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, she was also 2.5 lengths behind Consent and Santorini Star, who finished 1-2 in Group 1 company over in France as well. So the form has been given a right old boost.
Yeah. I mean, it's solid form, isn't it? Like, you know, it isn't as good a form as Kalpana, but, you know, I think she's up there with an each-way shout.
Yeah. Kalpana possibly did have a hard race in the arc. I mean, Poptronic and Wonderful Tonight in recent years ran at Longchamp and then came and won this at Tom. If you've not had a hugely hard season. It's only a couple of races in a couple of weeks for a flat horse, I guess. But again, she gets constantly put in as a favourite, doesn't she, Campana? So is there anything at a bigger price that you think maybe has been undervalued or underrated? And yeah, underrated and undervalued. That's what I was trying to go for.
Yeah, there is a couple of things. Wasn't it nice to go through that sprint, 20-runner sprint, and not mention the draw? And now we've come up to a 10-runner race round the bend, a mile and a half, and all we've done is talk about the draw.
Yeah,
it's funny, isn't it?
Well, you're a draw man, aren't you? You know, you that's the first thing you look at, Tom. So
I couldn't have even told you where King Kuan was drawn. I don't care. I literally don't care. The thing I think about Kalpana is that she just hasn't hit the line hard in any of her races this season. I keep expecting her to win. When she went past Whirl in the Pretty Poller, I thought she was going to win, but she got worried about out of it. You know, she sort of looked like she was going to win the King George, but got, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that puts me off horses. Now, obviously, the King George form is levels above what she's taking on here. We're talking Calandigan and Rebel's Romance. But maybe that took it out of her. Maybe she's not the same since then. It was fast ground, a mile and a half. And I don't know. I've got my doubts about her now. I'd just like to see her hit the line, because I really like her. She's light years the best filly on form.
But they've put, again, I mean, but she's a bit, you know, she's similar to Rosalian in a sense. Everyone keeps making excuses for her, but she's run five times this season and she's not won. Whereas last season when she won this, I think she'd won four times going into it. So, and they've popped cheap pieces on her as well, Tom. So I think connections also think that she's not.
And she went into the Ribblesdale last year as one of the best backed horses, well, didn't she, of the whole of Royal Ascot last year, and she let everyone down in the Ribblesdale on fast ground here over a mile and a half. So she's just not one that, you know, I'm sure people have backed her and loved her when she won this last year and made a few quid off her, but I've got bad vibes with Kalpana. So as much as I think she's the best filly, I'm gonna take her on. It's funny, isn't it? I don't know. Is she as good as they say she is? I don't know.
We haven't had a chance to find out yet, have we?
Yeah, exactly. We just don't know. She's sort of got a reputation above her what she's actually achieved. Mm. I'm never going to be on a horse like that at 4-1. Everyone could be right. She could be a superstar. She's by Night of Thunder at the end of the day. And he seems to win every race going. He's 10 Bob Tony as well, isn't he, Night of Thunder? So, you know, I could see, you know, who knows what she's going to come up with. Wardour looked good. She was the one I immediately turned to. When this race was done, when I first looked at this race, but she was about 5-1 shot then. Now she's 6-1, and she's got Kalpana and Estrange and Quisisana and, you know, all the others in there. So I don't know. She looks just on form. She looks a dodgy price to me. I thought one look. I'm back in the Paddy Twomey, pounding the turning bandwagon. I just thought she might be better over a mile and a half. She's looked like she would be better over a mile and a half the last twice. She's got to step up a bit, but I thought she should have won the Opera, really. She was one of the few to come up wide, really, that sort of a long shot that got really, really got anywhere near winning. And I think she would have been in front in another couple of yards. Now, I don't know if that form, how good that form is. I don't. It's Barnavara I love. She's very honest and See the Fire is good, but she's how good, you know, is she in the form she was at the start of the season? I don't know. But nonetheless, one look, I think will appreciate going up in trip to a mile and a half. And she comes here in good form if she stays, and I think she probably will. There's plenty in her pedigree that says she might. I thought she's coming here on the up, but Kalpana's on the down.
Lovely stuff. I love it when something just gets in your head and you just can't get it out. So
yeah, you've got three more races to go. Yeah,
keep doing it. Yeah, I think she's got a cracking chance. I mean, she's by Glen Eagles as well. She and obviously Calandigan and State of Rest, the O'Brien horse that won over this course and distance a couple of years ago as well. Her half sister was a Group 3 winner over a mile and a half. And I mean, even I was a bit worried. I thought, she ran badly at Ascot early in the year, but it was really fast ground, wasn't it? And it was over a mile. And then you look at it and you think, Fallen Angel was third, Cinderella's Dream was second. You know, they've won Group 1 since. And you're right, Barnavara was given the perfect ride on the clock, wasn't she, at Longchamp? So, yeah, an extra 2 furlongs. We know how she's going to be ridden, Tom. And if she switches down the centre of the track, that home straight's going to, you know you're going to get a strong finish from her.
Ross, I know you're gonna probably put me in the shade. What draw is she in?
She's in 10. So.
Oh, lovely. See? Perfect as well.
Perfect. Switch off out the back. Switch off out the back. Right. Phillies and Mares, let's have a quick look on the chat. Estrange for me says Wise Man. One Look was 14s yesterday, says Dimitriou. That's Tom's fault. Back to me's horses, most of the time you'll be in the money. A fantastic strike rate. Again, it's very good point Destiny sounds. And everyone's on One Look by the looks of things. So Brian Tomlinson, One Look hasn't much to find. I'm sure she'll improve for the extra 2 furlongs. Right, over to the straight course now for the QE2. And Field of Gold is back in business, in theory, at 15-8. Rosalia, 9-2. Never So Brave, 6-1. Fallen Angel, 7s. Docklands, 12s. Factor Cheval, 16s. The Lion in Winter, 16s. Carl Spackler is 20-1. Alakazi, Marvel Man, Tamfano, Dancing Gemini, Exactly, January, Coudoir, and Cicero's Gift make up the rest of the field. But it's the field versus the Field of Gold, who has looked an absolute monster on a couple of starts this year. But started the year Keelsman getting beaten when he should have won the Guineas, and then the last time we saw him he was disappointing, clearly something amiss in the weirdest race we've seen all season at Goodwood. So there's a little bit of a squiggle next to him.
I mean, there's always excuses for horses when they get beat at short price favourites, isn't there? Most horses ever been beaten at a short price favourite just because he got beaten by better horses on the day.
Didn't work out.
I mean, they all got shocking rides behind Kirat. In fact, Kirat got a shocking ride because he was supposed to go too fast to set it up for the ones that wanted him to do so. So they all got rubbish rides. But whatever the case was, what were the excuses for Field of Gold not picking up Rosalia, not picking up, was it Emmy Matisse? He's short enough on the back of that, isn't it? And the record of three-year-olds, Guineas winners, British or Irish, after Midsummer is awful. The last 2,000 Guineas winner from Newmarket to win after the Sussex Stakes as a three-year-old was Frankel.
Yeah. And he did win this race.
Well, he did win this race, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But I mean,
he's a very similar
horse. The thing
is,
there's two things. One, they're obviously very precocious because they get going early. And two, they do a lot of racing early in the season as well. And whether that ruins them for later on.
Yeah.
You've got to remember, Field of Gold ran in a Craven, 2 guineas, then the St James's Palace, then the Sussex Stakes. It's quite a lot. Now, he has had a break since. He might come back. He might be the best, but he's 0-1 against older horses. He's got a jockey with a 3% strike rate on the track, and he's drawn on the wing.
The only thing is, Colin Keane is the only jockey this year who's actually seemed to have ridden this horse correctly to win easily in 2 starts.
Yeah,
they
true,
were penalty
true,
kicks, mind.
True, they were. Yeah, they were penalty kicks, and that's the thing, isn't it? So.
So what beats him then?
So yeah, I've no idea what they'll beat him, to be honest, but. There's loads of bookmakers offering 4 places, and Docklands has never finished out the first 3 in his life at Ascot. He's been first and second in 2 Queen Anne's. He just runs his race all the time whenever he runs to Ascot. So I can't see him being out of the first 4. So he was my each way punt. His 4th last time in the Pre-Jacques Le Marat was his best ever run on Race of Best Ratings away from Ascot.
Yeah.
Which tells you he's every bit as good as he always has been. I just thought he was a each way value. I might throw a couple of quid at Never So Brave as well. You pointed out earlier to me, was a similar sort of horse with that love of Ascot.
Yeah,
I mean, and I love horses that love tracks.
Yeah,
simple as that.
Well, it just makes sense, doesn't it? It just makes sense it's a much better if you love Ascot rather than you love Bath, say, for example.
Yeah, of course
it is. Nice to be an Ascot specialist.
Yeah. I mean, if you're an Ascot specialist, you're probably not going to get sent to Bath, to be fair.
You never find out. Yeah, you never know. There might be Bath specialists. Who knows?
Well, they definitely are.
Never So Brave. He was double the price a couple of days ago. That's the problem.
Yeah. Is that Tom's fault again? We might find out.
We'll find out. But he he's just. Loves Ascot, keeps winning. He was double the price of Rosalian as well. He beat Rosalian out of sight. He's beat Marinoa Charlie, who's gone out and won. He's just been absolutely phenomenal. And Tom is a 4-year-old who is on the up. I think he's just he's just in cracking nick. He's clearly been saved for this race. You can look at him and think, oh, it was he only won a handicap at Royal Ascot, and you know, he's only beat Pointliners and Hartem here over a mile, and last time out, yeah, it was a pace collapse, and but I watched that race back, Tom, and I actually thought he won cozy than I thought he did at the time. I thought everything was closing on him, and I'm not entirely sure that's true, having watched it back.
No, I mean, it's not me. It was going to be me until everyone else sort of got onto Never So Brave a few days ago and took him from whatever 12 to 1 into 6 to 1. I agree with everything you say. He's the one horse that I think he just keeps winning, doesn't he? That's the thing. He keeps winning. He's gone up in grades. He's gone from a handicap to a Group 2 to a Group 1. I've got a theory that these horses that Sir Michael Stout had at the end of his career were probably not being trained very well. Now, that's probably a hard thing to say to one of the greatest trainers that ever lived, but the evidence is mounting up with your Fox Legacies and your Never So Braves that they're taking off, and they were always probably very good horses. They just weren't given the chance to show it.
I think it's fair, isn't it, that Tom, that I think that show me anyone in any profession that in the last 6 months before they retire are on the top of their game. Of course, then it's
absolutely, but that's what we're saying.
Trump's so, the same age, you know what I
mean? Don't stop with that.
Yeah. I mean, who knows what race he'd enter him in? So, but
he's on the
up. My point is that people are saying he's Never So Brave isn't. You know, is he really this good? Well, he probably was always this good, but he never had a chance to show it. But I like him. I like him a lot. Listen, we've all had a go at Colin Keane today, and I'm not going to have a go at Colin Keane. I think, he's tripled multiple champion jockey in Ireland. But I am going to have a go at him. I thought he gave Field of Gold a shocker at Ascot when he won the St. James's Palace. Because, funnily enough, it was the one day where the invitation came through the letterbox, and I actually went. And I sent you a picture to prove it, Ross, if you remember rightly.
Yeah, you did.
Of Field of Gold. He was exhausted. He gave him an especially hard race that day. Mm-hmm. And sitting up in the grandstand, I know Keels is going there tomorrow, you can actually see, you actually get a feeling of how horses are finishing. And his worst furlong by a country mile was his last. He was tired.
He kicked him on round the bend, didn't he? Which was that it was.
He did.
And that was, if he hadn't been so much better than the rest. We've seen horses tire in that final furlong.
It wasn't his fault because he's trying to win a St. James's Palace and you got to go when you got to go.
Yeah, yeah.
But Field of Gold was tired that day. And I wonder whether that contributed to his Goodwood win and the fact that he bounced to the moon more than him. Maybe they said he was injured and all this sort of thing. Maybe that was the case too, that he got an injury as well. But that, maybe what I think might have happened, and I'm worried whether he's ever going to get back because of the experience he had both at Ascot and at Goodwood. So at 15 to 8, I can't be on his side. I'm not anti-Rosalian at all because he was being my favourite horse for one of my favourite horses for a few years now. I loved him when he won the St. James's Palace last year. I still like him. I think he's been a set of circumstances cost him the race in France last time.
Yeah.
But he still lost. He still lost. And the one I can't give him a pass for is the Queen Anne. Mm. Because he should have won that day. And he didn't. And Docklands beat him fair and square. And people are saying Rosalian did this, Rosalian. Docklands missed the break.
Yeah.
Gave him 3 length start. And still got past him.
Jockey dropped the whip. So,
Exactly. So
you're not a forgiving man, Tom. So you, there's no way you can back a horse in a Group 1 having beaten 5 times in a row with You can't do
You're
it.
You're right. I can't do it. I don't think Fallen Angel's good enough. I think Factor Cheval has a small chance. I was very put off. I tipped him anti-post. I was very put off by a comment from his connections the other day who said that he'd had a real problem after his run at Ascot in the Prince of Wales's, and we're not sure he's going to be back to his best for this. The trainer poo-pooed that and said, yeah, he's flying, because he's been twice second in this race. And he could run well again. And I'm not giving up on the horse with the best name in the race, Carl Spackler, who was good in America. Whatever anyone says, he was good. The vibes I'm getting are that he is working really, really well for the Gostons. They think he's going to run a big race. I'm not sure they think he can beat Field of Gold, but they think he can run a massive race. So there's been some money for him in recent days. Doesn't surprise me. I want Field of Gold to win. I really do, because he was so good at the start of the season. He was one of the stars of the season. He was the horse we were all talking about at Royal Ascot. Mm. So I'd love him to come back. I can't back him at 15-8 though. Not on the back of Goodwood and what I saw at Ascot. So Never So Brave was my choice. I still is my choice, but I do think Carl Spackler might run well at a price.
Well, I mean, it's dripping in narrative, that, isn't it? If Carl Spackler, who switched to the Gosdens with Buick in the saddle after Buick was in the saddle when Field of Gold got beat at Goodwood, then beats Field of Gold at Ascot.
I backed him at Ascot in the Queen. He only went off 15-2 that day.
Yeah.
He's only beaten three lengths as well.
Yeah.
And Keels, I bet with a couple of furlongs to go, you were thinking, well, I thought he had a chance then.
I remember thinking that.
And as a man with who likes a game of golf, he's named after a Caddyshack. He's Bill Murray and Caddyshack as well. So there you go. It's all adding up. That's the QE2 on the chat. Let's have a look. Levy hasn't been great on Wazalian, says Tommy Daniels. Field of Gold is a banker, no matter who rides. If he's back to full health, says Philip Clayton. Never So Brave will give him a run, says David Foster. I think you are right, David. A couple more to go then. And just the champion stakes up next. Just the 11 runners this year. And what a cracking lineup we've got. We've got Ombudsman at 7-4. We've got Calandergan at 5-2. Delacroix at 4-1. Almeric 12s. Economics 14s. 20s First Look and Almacam and Fox Legacy. And we've also got Prague, Devil's Advocate and Mount Kilimanjaro, who are in here as well. Ombudsman is two wins and a weird old defeat to Delacroix at Sandown. He was fantastic at Royal Ascot. He was fantastic at York, despite the fact that for 80% of the race, everyone had their hearts in there or at their mouths. But you throw into the mix Calandergan as well, who's got his quirks up to his eyeballs, Tom, but loves Ascot, stays every inch of this trip and even more. Economics off the back of an absence. And I mean, I noticed the one who keeps creeping in at a prize is Almeric, who's bred to be good and is in the good could be anything category. So we've got a right old race on our hands.
Thought you were going to do it, Ross, but you managed.
No,
to
I left it for you. Now. I was leaving it for you.
What a race! The race of the season, the race of many seasons. This, I mean, it's got everything, isn't it? Mm. It's got the three best. I've always felt that a mile and a quarter is the championship distance. It's the distance where all the good, the mile has come up, the mile and a half courses come down. I think it's always been where British and European racing is at its best, and this is at its best, isn't it? It's an absolute brilliant race. You got the Judd Monty winner, the Eclipse winner, you got the King George winner, you got last year's Irish Champion Stakes winners, this year's, everywhere you look, there's a good horse. Trying to pick which one's the best on the day, I think will come down to jockeys and run of the race. I don't think there's that much between them. I really don't. I think Delacroix's becoming weak in the market, but I'm not quite sure why. I think he's got a chance. I think Calandergan is going to stay really well. Would he prefer a couple of more furlongs? I'm not sure. Ombudsman's the one with the best form. I think he's the most likely winner without a shadow of a doubt. He's been on go a long time. Will Almeric is really interesting, isn't he? Because he's looked really good. The question is, are they all going to underperform? Well, not that he might be good enough. What I'm saying is that they are 128, 130 rated horses. Are they all going to underperform? It's possible. He's got to be that good to beat them. If it was a normal Champion Stakes, like it was last year or the year before, I'd think Almeric was an absolute whacking bet at 12-1. Unfortunately, he's got 3, 4, maybe even 5 really good horses in there to beat.
Yeah.
So it's really tricky. I like him. Would I back him? I might do tomorrow. A lot will depend on how the market goes. Economics is a horse I love. I could see him going well. Almacam, we've all talked about him for years. I mean, I just love it. I think it's an absolute fantastic race. I have no idea what's going to win it, unfortunately. But
But that's the thing. Part of me, I don't really mind Keels in a way.
I don't want
to have a bet. It's one of those races where I don't want to have a bet. Partly because I think Ombudsman should be favourite and is most likely winner. I mean, he did bolt up at Ascot, and I think again everyone has kind of forgotten that whatever happened at York, Tom, he won easily, and he won, going away. So he's clearly the one to beat here. But I don't want to have a bet just because Yeah, I want to enjoy the race. It could be an absolute crackerjack. And
it's like the 100 metres final, isn't it? The Olympics. Yeah. You don't have to have a race. You're sitting there waiting for it, really, really looking forward to seeing what happens. And that's the same with this for me.
And Keels, in recent years, been a shocking race for, you know, the best horse in the race doesn't win the Champions Stakes.
Well, it's Ascot, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
They're running around a bend. Okay, they're not on the inner track, which sometimes they are.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but we've seen at Royal Ascot how much trouble you can get in, and he's coming, you know, he's one of those horses that wants to come from the back in a strongly run race, isn't he? Like, you know, and you've got to pick your way through. It's all right doing it against 5 and 6 rivals, but he's got 10 this time. It's the first time he's running a double figure field since he was a 5-on shot at Leicester well over a year ago. So, you know, and a lot of these horses aren't used to running in big fields. I think that's why you do get upsets every now and again in these sort of races. And the last time there were, as I said earlier on, the last time there were three horses who were as good as these three, they finished 4th, 5th, and 6th. The horses rated 117, 116, and 115. Right, you know, and that's what happens in these races. It's who gets the breaks, right, you know. And, you know, if everyone ran in lanes, I'd expect Ombudsman to win. I do think he's the best. Although, you know, I thought he was the best after he won at Ascot. Then I thought Delacroix was the best after he beat him at Sandown. And now I've had to change my mind again. So maybe don't pay too much attention to me. But, you know, Calandagan and Delacroix, if everything drops right for them, they can win as well. I have backed Al Merrick, though. I think he looked a Group 1 horse all day long when he won at Ayr last time. I don't know what your speed figures boys were putting on it, but I thought he was really good because he just didn't know what he was almost like he'd forgotten what to do when he come out of the stalls. And you know, Ushy Murphy, you know, just let him take his time, come into it, and he came through under a penalty against some proper soft grass, proper horses used to those conditions, and thrashed them.
Yeah,
you know, and yeah, so I'm going to give him a chance. Like Tom said, he probably needs some to underperform, and he needs to improve. But after he's only had 4 runs in his life, and he was quite well fancied for the French Derby before getting injured, so they've always known for a while. And even Andrew Boarding says that he will be capable of mixing at the top level in time. Whether that's on Saturday, we'll find out. So I mean, he's confident that he's a very good horse. So yeah, I've had a few quid each way. Nothing massive, certainly would be one of the smaller ones, but I do think he's going to end up being right up there.
All right. And can we just have a word? I mean, economics, again, it's another one of, look, why, especially of a man who's so patient as William Agus, why on earth would you bring a horse back for this race, for one race of the season, if you didn't think he was going to run a big run?
Yeah, I can get you saying that. I've obviously been trying to get him. Obviously been trying to get him ready.
Yeah.
And you know, a year off, having disappointed when only 2-1 last year.
Yeah.
But there are plans to take him to the Middle East, so it's not like they're going to wrap him up in cotton wool again until next March.
Yeah,
so
true.
He can come on for this run, can't he, as well? Like, you know, I mean, I'm not saying he isn't absolutely primed, but from what William Haggis was saying a week or so ago, they've had to jump through a lot of hoops just to get him here. So I wonder how straight he'll be.
Okay. Fair enough. So,
I've had a couple of critics on Al Merrick, just to spice up an already very interesting race, to be honest.
Yeah, fair enough. And Tom, I mean, again, we're just going to enjoy it, but most likely winner for you?
Well, I think I hope Ombudsman wins. I think Delacroix is being slightly underrated. I like him too. I thought he was brilliant in Ireland last time. And I think my old friend Albert Campbell will run well as well. There's loads. It's just a brilliant race. Really looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. I'll watch it 20 times before 6 o'clock tomorrow night, I would imagine.
All right. Fair enough. Yeah. Okay, yeah, fair. I'm just trying to ask so many questions.
I just love it. I think Top Sport is great, and I think this is Top Sport.
Yeah. No, it absolutely is. It absolutely is. Lochranza says the only bet for me is laying Delacroix. Economics has been off too long for me, says Philip Clayton, and this is a prep run, says Tommy Daniels. And Ombudsman is a very, very good horse and looks rock solid, says Cy Tyson. Okay, one more race to go then on Champions Day, and there's 20 runners lining up for the Balmoral. Native Warrior 9-2, Shout 11-2, Crown of Oaks 6-1, Cerulean Bay 8-1, Fifth Column 9s, Addisay 12s, Great Acclaim 12s, 14s Greek Order, Bigger the Rest. Loads of horses who've been plying their trade in the best handicaps around this year, and the first three in the betting are all Ascot winners. Admittedly, one's up in trip, one's got the it's sort of, you know, it's the Goldilocks zone, isn't it? You've got one that needs to prove the stamina, one dropping back in Crown of Oaks, and then Shout. Is he right? Perfect, the perfect temperature, Keels, for this race.
I'm going to be letting it all out if he wins tomorrow. In
you'll
the
be,
last,
you'll be shutting the house down. All right.
I really like him. And I'll back loads of outsiders for the group races. And he's got 21 a handicap at the F, and I'm piling in on what I think will end up favourite in Shout. He won with a ton in hand at Ascot last time, didn't he? Over a mile on soft ground. I don't think he needs soft ground at all because he's shown pretty decent ability on any ground. Mm-hmm. It just things drop right for him for once. And yeah, I just thought he was miles better than all of them. Some of them have run really well since, including the 7th and 8th, Thea of Everton and Thunder Roar were 1st and 2nd in a race at Ayr. I think Witch Hunter won over 7 furlongs next time as well, didn't it? Yeah, at Newcastle. And he beat him pointless. I think he just got an absolute ton in hand. Ashu Murphy rode him then. 48% strike rate for Simon and Ed Crisford, which was remarkably good. So they don't use him too often. But yeah, I think he'll go off favour, and I think he's probably, you know, he's a group horse, basically.
Yeah.
You know, he's a group race miler, I think.
He's got a few, there's been a few times where he's not the most straightforward, but maybe that's why we haven't, you know, he hasn't...
Yeah, but then you put the best jockey on and it turns out to be very straightforward because he was that day, wasn't he?
Yeah,
you know
true.
What I mean? He's had his, you know, he did have his issues and it didn't work out for him a couple of times. And obviously, you know, he didn't take to the first time visor at Ascot. I think he missed a break there, didn't he? In the Britannia, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it didn't look to be anything wrong with him or his attitude last time. So, I'd say that he's an absolute ton ahead of his handicap. If there's one at a big price, I could steer you towards. I would say Oliver Show, who was only just touched off in the Lincoln by Godwinson. He's eight pound better off now. He hasn't run over a mile since then. But was I catching on his last two runs, particularly last time? I know he was only seventh, but he didn't get a run. That was too Witch Hunter in that Newcastle race. So I thought at 25s, he'll run on well, but I think Shout will win.
All right. Shout's got a cracking shout, says Mr. Paul Keighley. Tom, see us out.
Does he make you want to? He does. Me too, yeah. Yeah, I like Shout.
I thought you've got to do it properly, Tom, if you're going to do it.
I'm not singing, if that's what you're asking.
You love cracking into song on this show. All right, tell us what...
Teals did his Tears for Fears little montage there. Did you see that?
Yeah, that is true, yeah. Yeah, how could I forget about him? Anyway, what have you got to add to Keels' case?
None. I'm not going to do it. I think he's on the way up, Ross. And I think he's. I just think he's well handicapped. Crown of Oaks is similar. I mean, he looked brilliant here. He probably ran too soon. I think a mile, strongly run mile, will suit him. Yeah, the one I'd throw in at a price is Topway, Holloway Boy. I thought he'd run really well. I know he hasn't run since Dubai or wherever he was, but he won the Chesham on his debut. I know he's Topway. Carl Burke and Topway doesn't make any difference to me. Every time he runs one as Topway in these handicaps, they're just group horses, don't they? Liberty Lane, Boiling Point, Ice Max. Holloway Boy's the same. It's not a big field. There's not a big weight range. He's run well off this mark loads of times before. He was fifth in the... He was an unlucky fifth in the Hunt Cup off just a few pounds lower. If he's fit and well, I thought he might run well. Holloway Boy likes Ascot, that's for sure, with Clifford Leon. So he'd be my long shot, but it's... It's all about Shout for me. I'm with Keels. I think he's going to win.
All right, fair enough. For what it's worth, I thought Cerulean Bay would be right in there as well. Just it's a classic O'Mara, isn't it? When he gets these handicappers rolling, I know he's only won at Goodwood the last couple of starts, but he has finished second on fast ground on the round track twice here at Ascot. So he has proven that he can run well here.
If the handicapper could reassess him, it'd be easily the best handicapped horse in the race, wouldn't it? Because he's only got the one penalty. And, he's won quite well off a mark of 100 the other day.
I was trying to remember the name of the... I know O'Mara's going to be loads of them. What was the name of the horse who won the Golden Mile, sort of like 3 days after winning elsewhere a few years ago? It was about 3-1. It won about four handicaps on the bounce, didn't it?
I can't remember what it's called. But it was trained by O'Mara.
It was trained by O'Mara. Maybe someone could tell us in the chat while we play this advert. All right, we'll get the naps in a second, but don't forget the flat season's almost over, but it's the jump season next. The big jump off will be live. We're going to do a big video preview, and we're even again. Basically, I think we're going to get might even get Tom Siegel in the studio to do that on Monday. So that'll be live. There's a man who really wants to come into the studio. We'll be live from 6 p.m. on Monday. Is that right, producers? Just 6 p.m. on Monday. And of course, the pullout will be in the paper, of which Paul Keighley has written 25,000 words over the last couple of weeks as well.
Prompting, Ross.
Prompting. Thank you. There we go. Thank you, Ben K8838. Yeah, lovely. Right. Okay. Before we get into the jump season, let's end on Champions Day with a nap. First from you, Mr. Paul.
Shout, Keighley. Shout, Tom.
Let it all out.
Yeah. There you go. That's
makes you want to.
I know. I love
is
it.
Is that your nap too, Tom?
Not now. Oh, you've right. Spot. I'll oh, have right. The same one. It would have been. It would have been. I will go for King Kuan in the sprint. No, actually, I won't. I'll go for one look. I think one look's got a better chance.
All right. Fair enough. And I will go for Never So Brave to upset Field of Gold and Rosalian and the likes then. All right. Thanks, gentlemen. It's been an absolute pleasure, as ever. And, enjoy your weekend of sport, Mr. Siegel.
I'm going to love it. Can't wait. Really looking forward to it. What a day.
What a day.
So why aren't you going?
Because I can't see anything when I'm there. And I'd bump into you, probably.
Then I
definitely wouldn't see anything. I'd be up 25 pints before 4 o'clock.
Yeah. And also, you can't go up to the guy with the big screen Ascot and go, can you just play that back again. I just need to watch that Champions tape one more time.
Exactly.
One more time. All right. Thanks, everyone. Like, subscribe. See you next time.